This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Wednesday, November the 20th of 2024. Nice start here in North Central Wisconsin at our 98.9 WXCO studios in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Fair skies and 35 degrees. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us if you want to get involved in the conversation. Just give us a call or a text. And the number is the same, either call or text. And I would say call because then you get to hear Ian Welsh's voice, and that's always a great way to start your morning. But if not, if you just want to give us a text, you can use the same number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. You can also join us by opening up the Civic Media app, the fifth station down. Found out we are adding our 21st station on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can get all the Civic Media stations on the app, but the fifth one down is 98.9 WXCO. Open it up, be able to listen live wherever you are, but also send us a text, give us a call with one push of the button. We'd love to have you be part of the show. Well, coming up a little bit later on this morning in the second hour, we will be joined by the executive director of the Grand Theater of Wausau, Sean Wright. We'll find out as we get into the holiday season. It always gets very, very busy at the Grand Theater. We'll find out what's happening at the Grand with Sean Wright. Also, before we introduce Ian, I gotta say welcome to the man who so ably sat in this very chair last week and guest hosted this program, and we are very happy to be joined by him every other Wednesday for the first hour of the show, Mr. Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. Hope everyone is having himself a good start to this Wednesday. Hey, about Civic Media having another station that they added to the what town?
In Hayward.
Hayward,
yeah.
I'm familiar with that town.
Absolutely.
Spent some quality time there a couple of years ago.
Heard about it yesterday. Apparently, they got a nice building up there.
Yes, if it's the same company, and I would, you know, I really don't know the marketplace, you know, here and there, but they you drive up this, you know, hill, and then there's this, you know, big steps going up to this building, and it's like the high spot of Hayward. If this is the same place now, I don't know, because this is the first I've heard
about
this.
Well, we'll take a road trip sometime and pay a visit.
You know? Yeah, well,
go all 21 stations. Take a trip around.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. This was, you know, 2 years ago, and my knee problems were beginning to really and those steps. That was long. Was a long step. In fact, the guy who was the manager there says to me, "I really want to apologize, you know, the steps." I says, "Yeah. So if you ever have anyone who's handicapped, are you able to get up this, like it was a mountain climb?"
You need one of those, the chair escalator?
Oh, they needed something, because I was really suffering. But good folks up there, and I'm glad to have them part of the team.
Absolutely. Before we go any further, need to say good morning and hello to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Ian and I had a great time.
I was
going to
say, you guys weren't, you know, going.
Oh, no. He was dancing.
Ian wasn't, you know, telling you exactly what to do like he does with me every day.
No. He was.
I was dancing a lot, though.
He was dancing like Storm out there. I thought it was a discotheque time back in the 70s.
What got you dancing last week?
What was a song called Pick Up the Pieces? And
by AWB.
This goes, has a good groove to it. I was dancing along, just bobbing my head, having lots of fun. And we had a great show. We had a guest every single day last week.
When you get a geezer like me and I'm pulling songs out of the 70s, that's what happens. So.
Different generation there for a week. Yeah. Well, good to see you, Ian. We'll again have our number for the day quiz coming up at the end of the show. You're one for two this week, so get it right today. You'll have a chance to already clinch a passing week. So we'll look forward to that.
Absolutely.
The man thinks so hard when I give him this quiz, when basically it's just a...
I know. That same thing.
He digs.
Like, he sweats a lot. I understand. I've been there.
Hey, I got to ask you something, because last night was my first winter high school sports broadcast of the season, and I traveled over to Loyal for a girls basketball with Marathon. And on my way over there, and basically you go down 29 for about 30 miles, and then you hang a left on a county road. I forget which county road it is, and that's about 15 miles to get to Loyal.
And it's Q, maybe.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm heading down there, and all of a sudden, big deer comes out. Big deer. And, you know, fortunately, the deer stopped, and I was able to slow down, and it went across. And then on my way back, same road, big deer comes across. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get very paranoid. I've never hit a deer. And you know, when I think about, you know,
me neither.
No, and that's the thing. I was going to ask you, because you and I, for over the years, you travel all the time.
Middle of the nights.
And especially this time of year, right before hunting season, because all those deer are out there.
That's mating season. And
yeah. And I tell you that the rest of my drive, I was so paranoid.
Uh-huh.
That was one. I told you, you haven't hit one either. That's hard to believe.
I actually drove through a herd of mule deer in South Dakota. And this is the I-90, you know, going from the east end all the way to the west end, and they had the speed limit on there was 75, and that was just a suggestion. I mean, I had 18 wheelers blowing by me, you know, 85, 90 miles per hour easily, and so I wasn't going much faster than 75, but it's middle of the night in South Dakota. Okay, and so I'm cruising around, and I just get to the crest of a hill, and so I'm flying pretty good, just looking at the roads, and just as I got to the crest of a hill, there was a herd of mule deer that were crossing, and it was too late for me to like lock on the brakes and that, and it was one of these I just held on to the steering wheel and just, you know, squeezed it as hard as I could. No, is this going to hurt? And I had deer in front of me. I could see them to my right, to my left, in my rearview mirror. Totally missed them. Totally missed this. There's at least 20 of them, at least flying by. I mean, I just, my adrenaline gland, you know, emptied basically there. And I mean, the heart was, and I says, wow, I got through that.
Are you a hunter? Because hunting, the gun deer hunt starts
on
Friday.
No, I'm not a hunter, but I had friends back in Fort Washington who like to drag me out to their trailer. And basically, because I was the guy who was pretty good in the kitchen as far as, you know, making chili, you know, and making, you know, some decent dinner when he come back from hunting. And of course, there's the all night poker games.
Oh.
And obviously, adult beverages. And so I would be there, but I didn't participate in the hunting, but I was with the guys having a good time.
Yep, so the hunting season begins. The deer hunt in Wisconsin this Friday, November 23rd, goes through December the 1st. So best of luck to those folks who get out there and do good, because there's nothing like paranoid feeling when you're driving. Like, I am just looking, and I think, and again, I'm probably not telling you anything. Boy, at night, as I get older, it's getting harder and harder. Especially when there's a little bit of a wetness on the road. It's getting harder to see everything.
Well, I did come close to clipping a deer that already had been hit. Again, it was in my drive back from Madison, you know, in the middle of the night. And just missed, but knock on wood, and I know I'm going to, you know. Time is, you know, not on my side. Eventually, I'm going to I hope I can make it a perfect record. That's all I can say.
In our last few minutes before this first segment, then we're going to delve into the craziness of the world as we see it, starting a couple minutes. What was the best part of last week? Again, I always, for you, because you've done this for so many years, and now you don't do it on a full-time basis anymore. Mm-hmm. Is it sort of, do you get a kick out of, you know, doing a program again?
Well, what I enjoy doing is getting a hold of some folks, you know, as guests that haven't been on the station here. One of the cool things that I did last week was I talked to a gal by the name of Sue Burke, who writes science fiction novels.
She was my favorite guest too.
Yeah, you know? and
high praise right there.
Ian's eyes like lit up because I was explaining.
He was telling about her series of books, and I was like, okay, I have to read this book. I'm going to put this down on my reading list.
And she was part of being a guest, you know, via using the laptop.
StreamYard.
The StreamYard. And the reason why I got her on the air was the fact that her and I went to high school together. We are in the same graduating class. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we took a couple of similar classes. We both took journalism, you know, in our senior year. And Mrs. Muldoon was our teacher. We were reminiscing about her and and how basically that got her into writing, because she wrote for newspapers and that. Then she went off and got married and moved to Madrid, Spain, and taught English to the Madrid teachers. And it's just an incredible, you know, story. And her, such a nice person, and she just got into writing science fiction big way, and she showed up at these conventions now as a big time author, and Ian was like, I gotta get those books. I said, yeah, well, check them out.
And folks can actually go back on our archive and our podcast and be able to listen to that interview and all the interviews Bob had last week as he guest hosted for the program. And real quickly, you know, when you talk about somebody you went to school with, I mean, it's really cool when they do something well, because during the election 2 weeks ago, somebody I went to high school with graduated from DC Everest with, Kristen Alfheim, won a state Senate seat. It was really cool.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, saw that.
Yeah, and she and I both graduated in the same class at DC Everest. And when you see somebody that you grew up with, that you remember when we were when you're young and kids,
and then we get together and you just look back at the past and laugh. Yeah, exactly. How did we get here?
That's humanity. I like that. I really like that feeling where you feel really good about somebody you knew back when, who really are doing good things. So we're going to take a quick time out and then come back and delve into the craziness that is the news, and we'll talk some sports later on as well with Bob Look. He's with us for hour number one. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, Civic Media app as well. Sitting in with Bob Look here for hour number one, and Brittany Merlot off again. I think Brittany will be back tomorrow. That's pretty much what I got the impression
I believe so. That's what she told me.
Yeah, last week she mentioned she'd be taking 3 days off. So yep. We're holding her tour.
There you go. But again, beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. The sun is shining. Temperature of 35 degrees. It's going to turn mostly cloudy today. Chance of snow showers later this afternoon and a high of 38. But we'll have more on the weather coming up as, again, we're talking to Bob Looking. And Bob, you were telling me during the break, and I think, you know, it's a good way to look at things. You're kind of looking at the incoming Trump administration right now as a bit of a, like a magician. It's like, look over here, and then a little sleight of hand. And I had caught something that you'd posted with Robert Reich as well, mm-hmm. which, again, I think for us who look at politics and what's possible and what you'd like to see accomplished, you can't be looking at the sleight of hand, can you?
Right. Whenever I watch a magician, I don't look where he wants me to look. But that's just, you know, my growing up, you know, I'm always like, okay, how did he do that trick? And in my mind, I start, like, what are the possibilities rather than,
hey,
nothing up my sleeve.
Real fast, were you somebody that could catch it?
Yeah.
You were like pretty good at that?
Well, here, I remember going to... the movies with my wife, and the Sixth Sense, I think, was the movie.
Yeah,
there was one with the actor who was in the Die Hard movie,
Bruce Willis,
and her and I are just got the popcorn, movie's just starting, right, and about 2 minutes in, and I looked at my wife and I says, "He's dead, you know." And my wife goes, "Huh?" I says, "Oh, nothing. You'll catch on in another 2 hours." And all of a sudden, because you go through that whole movie, and you never put that into your realization that he is actually passed on, and this is his, you know, spirit.
Are you talking about the Sixth Sense movie?
Yeah, Sixth Sense.
Oh, okay, I had a feeling because I knew there was a movie about that. And as soon as you said Bruce Willis, and he's...
Well, he had said Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Oh. He's still dancing at the song.
There.
No, it's there all good. Go. It's all good. Bob, continue.
I do that to a lot of people, groups that I speak. My audience was that way, too. Oh, Bob's on here? No. But...
Man, you got him as red as his shirt.
I'm sorry.
I actually do. I called him on it. So.
But, you know.
It's all good, Ian.
Yeah,
it's all
but
good.
But, yeah, the Sixth Sense, and it was like 2 minutes of the movie. It was like the first scene, and I said, and I just turned to my wife and said, "Hey, he's dead, you know." And she goes, "What?" And I just went, "Well, you'll think too much. How did you know?" I says, "Well, he's the little boy is the only guy that's interacting with him. No one else was interacting with him. They were in the same scenes, and they alluded that they were probably one picture with him and the mother, right, sitting in their living room, and you assume that they were having a conversation. Well, they never had a conversation." And as the movie kept going on, I says, "Mm-hmm." I just kept going, "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm." Mm-hmm. And my wife's going, "What?" I said, "Nothing. Just remember what I told you at the start of the movie." And sure enough, it gets to the end, and my wife just looks at me and goes, "How would you know?" And I go, I used my sixth sense.
And what should we be looking at right now, as opposed to Magician Donald over here, you know, with the hocus pocus?
Well, corporate greed, which has been something that really is the problem, why inflation numbers are where they were and are. And people keep saying, "Oh, this is that. How can they do that?" Well, General Motors, big car, truck maker, just announced a round of layoffs impacting 1,000 workers. And right away, somebody will say, "Well, I thought they were doing really good." Well, the company reported in their third quarter earnings that put it on a track for record profits here for this year. Its CEO receives $27 million in compensation in the year 2023. He's paid $27 million to run the company. And also, General Motors announced a $6 billion in stock buybacks this June. But they have to lay off 1,000 employees. That is your textbook of what corporate greed is, because GM also sees and knows what's coming. What's coming with tariffs?
Mm-hmm.
What's coming with, you know, how the how things are going to be once on January 20th, the hand gets raised and takes the oath of office, and watch what happens. Because the corporate's going to, they want to protect their profits. They don't want, you know.
Number one. That is their number one goal.
Number one goal. They're going to protect them greatly, and probably stock buybacks. Let's put them someplace offshore or so.
No kidding.
And anyway, there's all the. I always, you know, whenever they talk about, you know, certain eras in the world, you know, they'd have the Middle Ages and what have you, the Roaring Twenties and things of that nature. I almost want to coin this part of our existence here in the U.S. of A. and around the world even. I'd like to, like, kind of maybe tack on a title for it. I call it the Age of Ignorance. And what do I mean by that? It doesn't mean that people are stupid or dumb. They're not. But they want to poke holes and take all the air out of the balloons of common sense, science, and the things that have helped got us to survive. Age of ignorance, and they just want to blow it all up. And then when things start falling apart, oh, well, we got to find something to help us.
I got a great example of when you talk about inflation and about, you know, corporate greed and price gouging that I deal with. I see every single time I go to the supermarket recently for quite a long time. And we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more with Bob Look coming up. But first, we have an information update. We'll find out the news, weather, and sports. Get you ready to go here on this Wednesday. The time is 8:29. Glad you could be with us. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
He is boogie.
Look at him.
He's a boogier. Boogie. Jeez,
it just makes you feel good.
Saturday Night Live. Look at him go. Look, Saturday Night Fever. Woo.
You got the white suit on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Go out there.
White belt, the white platform shoes, the polyester shirt that doesn't breathe. Oh, yeah.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXU. He's got the groove going
and
over on the other
side. And it's so politically incorrect, the name of the band. Because AWB stands Average White Band.
Yeah.
Now, they got away with this in the 70s. It was done more tongue-in-cheek thing, mm-hmm. So it wasn't taken as being. But I'll tell you what, if they come out with something like that today, whoa, what do you mean by that?
Real quickly, let me ask about that, because yesterday I was talking to Todd Alb on the show, and he was saying one thing that he thinks that sometimes we are a little bit too much worried about, you know, the not to have language that is you know, hurtful, but at the same time there's a little bit of an uptightness sometimes that mm-hmm. people need to kind of just figure out what's important and not get bogged down in the, you know, he's saying that basically somebody made up, and I don't know what really the story is about the Latinx. I mean, I've heard this, and I think they're making a big deal of it, but and maybe just for to have priorities in terms of what we're going to fight, and sometimes the minuscule language sometimes gets overwhelming because then the other side is able to point and say, hey, these people are just out of touch.
Well, sometimes you can have an audience, you know, a group of 300 people or 3,000 people. And heard Jerry Seinfeld, when he was doing his getting coffee in cars with comedians, you know, his little feature that, and I watched him, and I can't remember the comedian that they were talking about, or the story, and he said he played this room, you know, about 300 people were having a time of their lives, laughing, just a great time. But in comes one letter, or one complaint. Somebody who thought that a particular joke was not funny, was very, very demeaning to a certain group of people. And the comedian, so what am I going to do? I'm going to apologize to that one person? You know, I'm sorry that you were offended by what I said. And the comedian just kind of smirked and went, yeah, like I'm going to do that. I says, 299 people loved it, but one person, you're not going to satisfy everybody. Someone's right. Going to be upset. Probably somebody was upset just a little while ago when I called, you know, said average white man, which was what they were called.
Right.
And back then it was just kind of, oh, tongue in cheek, laugh, ha ha. It's a slap on the back. It was not meant to be demeaning, was not meant to be sarcastic. It was just one of those cute little, you know, deals.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and you think of Blazing Saddles or something like that.
Well, Blazing Saddles. I mean, people were like, they were just aghast. You know, that's why it had an R rating, and it was not. It was pretty. But think about, you know, that movie back, you know, White Man Can't Jump.
Right.
Just
how
the title
you
of
say
it.
That?
What do you mean, White Man Can't Jump? And there were, and I remember there was a player for the Marquette Warriors. I think it was Jim Dudley, I believe, was his name. He's a white dude that was from the Racine area. I hope I'm getting this all. This is all years ago. It's back in the 70s. And he was, you know, he was a playground, you know, wizard. You know, he was one of these. He could just be standing flat-footed and get up high enough to stuff a basketball. And he was like 6'6", 6'5", 6'6". He's a white guy, and it's like, you know, and it was not like anything out of the ordinary, but it was one of those situations where, you know, he was doing something that, wow, we're just not, can't remember somebody doing something like that. And I go, well, he's you know, worked hard at it. He's in it, you know, he's developed that skill. Big deal. Let's just play the game.
Exactly. And again, priorities. I mean, come on. I mean, I want to make one point. You were talking in the last segment about corporate greed and you know, why we've seen a lot of the prices go up. I have an example that I keep noticing every single time I go to my area supermarket near where I live. And basically, I tend to load up on my soda. And every week, I mean, basically every week there's a certain deal where if you buy two, you get two free. There have been times you get two 12-packs, you get three free. And basically, I don't think I have paid full price on soda for years. And the thing about it is, it's happening all the time. It's not a special sale. I mean, it'll be for a week, and then they'll have a different kind of sale for the cubes and stuff like that. But my point is, every time I see that, I'm thinking, well, when you look at the numbers, basically the pricing on it for a 12-pack of soda is $9.99. But instead, I always pay basically an average of between $4 and $5 per 12-pack. Mm-hmm. But basically, again, if they could not afford to sell it for $4.50 or whatever it may be, they wouldn't have these deals all the time. And you see that if we go through the cereal aisle, same thing like that. Mm-hmm. And again, the idea is if they could, if it had to be $9.99 for a 12-pack, it would be. It wouldn't be, you know, 40 of the 52 weeks a year, you're selling it for basically $4.50. Again, I just think that there is a disconnect on what's real and what's not real sometimes when it comes to that kind of issue.
Well, again, you don't have to buy the soda.
No.
But for people with drugs, life-saving, life-continuing drugs who are stuck at whatever is thrown out there, when they pass that, you know, for the insulin,
mm-hmm.
For diabetics, you know, there's somebody, oh, this is great. I remember my dog, Louis Armstrong. He was a diabetic. Ended up, you know, losing his sight and everything. And so I had to get the insulin for dogs twice a day. Had to, you know, do that just so he could live, you know. And he was a great dog. He was, but one of those little vials. It wasn't any bigger than eye drop, you know, type of a vial, you know, vial. And that was, each one of those was like over $60 each. We'd go through one of those a week. So four times 60 is like $250 just for the insulin per month. Not to mention the syringes that I'd have to buy. That goes along with it. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the special food that my dog had to eat because of his diet. Okay. Being a pet owner, and everyone out there who are pet owners, they go, oh, I would happily do. But some people can't.
Right.
Some people can't. And, you know, and I look back at that, and I says, I love Louis a lot. He was a great dog. But if I took down to write down this much, the vet stuff, the...
Well, the whole thing about it is you talk about the insulin. It's the same deal as maybe PepsiCo or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. When these new rules came into effect, they're not going out of business.
No.
They're still making plenty of money.
Last week when I was doing the show here, I was driving by and I see Quick Trip and I was looking at their... So one morning, it was 269.9 per gallon, okay, for regular unleaded. And the next day, 299.9 per gallon. And
tell me about it. It's ridiculous.
How did it go up 30 cents? And it was up there for one more day, and then all of a sudden.
I know.
Because other places didn't jack theirs up. And so for them to move this gasoline and have them, you know, use it up, get it out of their tanks, they had to get back into the marketplace. So these things can, you know, if you could find somebody out there that, like your car that you use, I was just, gosh, I love that car. I'll give you $20,000 for it right here now. What do you do?
Give me that money.
Correct. I'll go buy something else.
Exactly.
Congratulations. You now own my car.
Enjoy it.
Right? That's the free market. However, that doesn't happen all the time in this lovely world. But I always used to love when I would have these job interviews with broadcasting companies. And it's the same question every time after they say, oh, we really want you on our team. We really look forward. You know, we want to be the top station in the market, blah, 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 blah. And then the next question that they ask you is, well, how much are you looking for to be our new program director or new operations manager? And Ian, you can use this next time you're negotiating too. I just looked at him and says, $1 million a year. And they look at you and go, I said, well, you asked me for, you know, a ridiculous question, so I just gave you a ridiculous answer. You've got a budget sitting there in front of you right now. You're hoping that I would say, well, I'd be happy to do this for $1,000 a month. Oh, you're our kind of guy.
And unfortunately, for most of my career, that was me. I don't say that proudly at all. I mean, and the thing
and
about
not
it is,
meaning to
no,
point fingers.
No,
either,
no. But I mean, I think that it's not. It's a very common situation. It's a sad situation where they're taking advantage of folks.
Well, like I said, one of my first job in radio was in Port Washington. And I'd have to drive from South Point to Port Washington, which was about an hour trek, just to do a Sunday evening 6 till midnight show. And then the boss says, hey, you want to get involved with the sports broadcast? I know. Yeah. Oh, well, you can help me out on the broadcast. And for me to drive all the way up there, and this is, again, circa 1975, around that area, 74, 75, you know, I got an extra $5 to do those games. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, to this day go, why'd you do that? He says, because I wanted to do this job. I wanted to, you know, invest in myself and learn by doing.
One other point, kind of, I think, with the, under the umbrella of what we're talking about in terms of like the pricing and the such, I'm very curious to see in the next, you know, administration. One of the things I think that will be appreciated more in the future is the number of areas that this current administration has been able to do. I would call them little things, but really are big things for the American public. I think the junk fees that they've been trying to fight against and other areas
really big later down the road.
Right. There are a number of those that frankly don't get the attention that they should. And where government is actually doing things for the mass of the people. And I just have a sense, based on, again, the people that are going to be put into positions of authority in the next administration, you're going to see, again, lack of regulation, lack of that feel for, hey, we're going to do something for the mass of the people. No, we're going to start doing things for, again, the top 1%. And that's fearful. And I think that I wish people would maybe have looked at it a little closer, because I do think that there are so many different ways that could be done in order to help. Like you said, it could be the drops for your dog. There's so many. And the thing
things
about,
that cost money.
And who's fighting for you? And I feel like one of the things that I will appreciate about this administration is I think they did fight for the average person more than we've seen in quite a long time.
I did talk with a gentleman a few weeks back who was just going ape about, oh, Obamacare is the worst thing in the world. I'm glad they're going to get rid of Obamacare. And I turned to them and I says, well, what do you have for your I went through the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. What a great thing. I was able to find, you know, reasonably priced, you know, insurance. Medical insurance.
You're killing me, Bob, with stories like that. You're just killing me.
Unfortunately, I talk to a lot of people.
I know. It just kills me.
And I kind of just, I gave him the old dog tilted head, and I went, you do know that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, is Obamacare. Oh, no, it isn't. And I sat there for another 20 minutes, and I tried to convince him, but he wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have it.
And again, I do think that when you do take a look back,
the age of ignorance.
You're right. The age of ignorance, and people may have been helped by one of these little aspects of the last 4 years, and they're going to go away in the next 4 years. I can guarantee that.
I hope not.
We got a few more minutes with Bob Look. We're going to come back in 2 minutes, talk a little sports.
Yeah.
Because he's wearing his Badger. Maybe he's the new offensive coordinator. So we'll talk.
We weren't supposed to announce it until later.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It's 8:52, spending the first hour talking with Bob Look, and we always like to wrap it up, it up a little bit with some sports, and I think the big news this week is the Phil Longo era has come to a merciful end in Wisconsin for Badger football.
It's Longo overdue. Yeah.
You put that out there on your socials. It's like Longo overdue. But you were just saying, I mean, there's certain basics the Badgers weren't doing. I mean, like you said, last couple of minutes of the game, you have a chance to beat the number one ranked team in the country. You get the ball back in before the first snap of a new series.
And you get called for delay of game when you had the whole offense with you on the sideline, so you couldn't come up with a decision how they wanted to attack at this. I go back even further in the game, in the second quarter. The Badgers were doing nothing right. Offensively. And then they changed their thought process. They put in a fullback. They put in two running backs, a fullback, a blocking back, and their halfback, and ran, you know, off of that and made yards. I go, ding, hey, you finally got, you know.
Let's keep doing it, right?
No. I think they did a little bit the next, and then I was, that was the last time I saw a second back in the backfield, and I was like, I've seen this movie before. It's the coach, this is the way I've always done it, this is the way we're going to do it, and bite them in the backside.
Well, and again, I just think that when you look at the University of Wisconsin, and you're trying to beat these teams that, you know, bring in the incredible athletes and bring in, you know, have the money to...
The defense played their hearts out.
Right.
I was so impressed with the effort, and I felt bad for them. I mean, the offense had a nice drive, and they nice balance. But I keep screaming at the bench, show more because some of the best runs were always the running back making that cut to the backside, not going to where the hole is supposed to be, but where the hole showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the running back did a good job for a while there, but then did not miss direction plays very often. The jet sweep was not used I could think of.
You know what? One thing when you look at Wisconsin Athletics football and men's basketball, and for the last number of years, there have been so many people that have been screaming, "Gotta get rid of Greg Gardy, too boring." Man, what a gift this guy is, because you don't need to tear down what you've done successfully for decades. And that's what the Badger football team apparently has done on the offensive side. It is not working, but they've stayed the course with Greg Gard. He has had to replace a number of players, but yet he's done it. I mean, it's pretty amazing this year. They scored all these points. But again, all these people that wanted the new shiny object.
Yeah,
go back
name.
In your corner, because you were wrong.
They wanted the big name that all the quote-unquote experts. Greg Gard went out, and they got some guys through the portal that fit what they do,
mm-hmm.
accentuated what they do well, and also some people who can hit some shots and create offense.
How about that?
Which you lost when you lost
the kid that went to Kansas, right?
Yeah, Hepburn, he could do that, and so Klesmet now is developing that tendency too. So they're going to be, are they going to be a world beater? No, but they'll be very respectable and also very, very, you can get behind them.
In a couple of weeks, it's going to be a massive game. MU and UW, they're both doing great. Last night, Marquette beat Purdue. I mean, fantastic win. That's going to be so cool when they meet in Milwaukee in a couple of weeks.
That was always the highlight of every year. Well, usually we had an opportunity to see him play twice a year.
The Milwaukee Classic.
Milwaukee Classic that was in between Christmas and
Badgers got tired of that.
Yeah. It was kind of like,
they thought they should get some of the, because they brought in the crowds too.
Oh, sure. Well, but again, Wisconsin basketball was not as big as it is now.
No, and Marquette was
the
huge.
Hockey team was right. More important to UW athletics back then in the 70s and into the 80s.
What about the big sweep last weekend for Bucky? I tell you, that's much needed.
Lost in all the talk about the football and basketball team, everyone really didn't pay attention to the hockey team beating Penn State, who is pretty good at home, and they did it convincingly.
Yep.
It wasn't like a fluke. And Coach Mike Hastings is going to work. It's unfortunate that you played that well and you got to take this weekend off. But, they can learn by this. They get back into action during the Thanksgiving weekend against Alaska Anchorage, an old WCHA team that we used to play.
And the women, the perfect season goes by the board. But
against Ohio State, the other
One of the things about the women's team this year I've noticed is, boy, I mean, they have this ability to come from behind. I tell you, that's
a lot of talent on that team. And hats off to Mark Johnson.
The man is incredible, isn't he?
He is a wonderful guy. He's really funny. He's a very, very funny, self-effacing type guy. And everyone should have an opportunity to either meet him and also watch his is the women's team play.
They're, yeah, they're if fun. You, I mean, I love watching the women. I just they're so good, and again, it's so great to root for a guy like Mark Johnson. Yep. You know, it's fantastic. Well, Bob, thanks again for popping on in. Thanks again for what you did last week.
Well, no problem, and we hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving coming up next week, and. We'll
and thanks for getting Ian doing the jigs again.
I'll tell you, he has got, you know, John Travolta passed. That's all I'm going to say.
That's Bob Look.
Thank you, Bob. That's a great call.
We'll have him back in 2 weeks' time. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Information update, top of the hour, coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.